Revelation chapter 17, we're only going to look at one verse this morning, or at least that's going to kick off what I want to say to you this morning, or what the Lord has laid upon my heart to speak today. Verse 6 of Revelation 17, New King James Translation, says, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. So our examination of Revelation continues this morning. And so far, of course, we took time off for the Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday time, but we're going to get back in and hopefully finish the book of Revelation. But so far, we have covered the first five verses of chapter 17 up to that point, as we began way back last year sometime with the very first verse in chapter 1. And here in chapter 17, we find words like harlot and woman. And we need to know who this harlot will be. Many people today could, I believe, be involved with this harlot. And so today we're going to take a closer look at what the Bible says about this harlot. I want you to look back again at verse 6, and it says, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. So the Bible says here in this verse that this woman is drunk with the blood of saints. In other words, those who try to expose her as to who she really is and what she really is are persecuted, and many of them at this time will be killed. Now, some Bible commentators will say to you that this is proof that Roman Catholicism is this harlot church of Revelation. And they can point out such things as this. During the Crusades, Christians killed many people. The first Crusades began, I did a little research on this, about 1095. That was a long time ago. And that happened when armies of Christians from Western Europe responded to Pope Urban II's plea to go to war. Can you imagine that? That a pope in the Catholic Church would declare a war and actually say that the Catholics, or the Christians, if you will, should actually go out and kill people who were not Christians. And so what happened then was Christians ended up fighting against Muslim forces right there in the Holy Lands. The First Crusade achieved its goal in 1099 with the capture of Jerusalem. The invading Christians set up several Christian states there in the Holy Lands. And as a result, the Muslims in that region vowed eventually to wage a holy war. Now, friends, as I tell you about this stuff, you're beginning to see how we came to the point where we are today. As a result of the Christians defeating all the Muslims in the Holy Lands and basically driving them out, the Muslims called for a jihad to regain control eventually, sometime in the future, over that region of the Holy Lands. Now remember, friends, that what we're reading here this morning is a prophecy of things that are going to come. And as I think about it, and as you think about it, here's a question for you. What religion is actually sanctioning the killing of people today? What religion says that it's a good thing for people who are followers of this religion should go out and kill people who don't believe as they do? Who's doing that today? Friends, the Islam religion is now conducting a war against Christians. And I believe we are now very close to the beginning of tribulation because of that very fact. And that's also why I believe this harlot religion of the book of Revelation is not Roman Catholicism. I believe strongly and have believed this way ever since I began studying the book of Revelation with a fine-tooth comb, that the harlot religion of Revelation is none other than Islam. Now notice also that verse 6 says, she is drunk with this blood. It also says, and when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Now this indicates great wealth. Now, obviously this is another thing that those people who want to crucify Roman Catholicism say, what religion is wealthier than the Roman Catholic Church? And when it says, I marvel with great amazement, what about the great robes and all the trappings that go with Roman Catholicism? It has to be Roman Catholicism is, in fact, the harlot church of Revelation. Sounds reasonable until you start doing a little digging, which is what I have done. And I found out this. When Osama bin Laden was caught by a Navy SEAL team, they didn't find him hiding in a cave. Do you know this? Osama bin Laden, when he was eventually caught by that Navy SEAL team, was found to be living in a $4 million estate that was complete with many modern conveniences. And it's been estimated that Osama bin Laden had an estimated fortune of $120 million. Osama bin Laden was also born into one of the wealthiest families in the world. And friends, Islam is one of the three major monotheistic religions in world history. And I know, and I suspect many of you already know this, in these last days, Islamic revival is sweeping the globe. It is the fastest growing belief system in the world today. After World War I, the Islamic State had been destroyed. But since then, Shiites and Sunnis began to operate as key leadership in the Islamic revival. In the 1930s, with the discovery of oil in the Middle East, it made them rich and restored power once again. Friends, where is the world wealth coming from today? From oil. And where does a majority of the oil come from today? The Middle East. And who, I ask you, is control as far as faith is concerned in the Middle East today? Is it Christianity? No way. It's Islam. Islam is the religion of the Middle East today, where all of the wealth from pumping oil wells is being established at this very moment. Now, you see, folks, people who wrote Bible commentaries back in the 30s and the 40s and even in the 50s, they could look at what Revelation say here and say, well, this, the Roman Catholic Church has to fit this to a T. But time has passed on. And where is the wealth today, friends? It's in the Middle East. And even though many people don't know it, the richest people in the world today are these potentates of the Middle East who believe in nothing more than Islam. That's where the wealth is today. And as a result of them becoming more and more rich and more powerful, Islamic leaders today have set their minds on eventually controlling the world, and especially, if they haven't already, to recover the area of Jerusalem. I suspect the figures that I did find on the internet are a little bit outdated, but it said to me that the total number of Muslims, or people who believe in the Islamic religion, the total number of people who believe that way has been estimated at 1.5 billion people in the world today. And at this point, or at least at the point that the latest figures I could find on the internet, at that point, Islam was second only to Christianity as far as faiths in the world today. And I don't know how long that's going to last, because let's face it, friends, Christianity is fading, isn't it? Aren't more and more people becoming either pagans themselves who don't believe in anything, or more and more people today walking away from the churches who might say, well, I'm a Christian, but in their hearts they're not? Friends, the number of people who are strong Christians today is declining. And at the same time, the number of people who are radical Islamic people is on the rise. And how long Christianity will be number one and Islam number two? Well, if I read Revelation correctly, Islam's eventually going to be number one in this world. Again, another sign to me that, friends, we're getting closer to that day when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to appear in the sky and call his people home. It's called the rapture. It's getting close. I believe it. I don't think anybody would disagree with me on this statement. I believe very firmly that we are at war with Islam. But I want to be fair about this. Every Muslim or every person who would say, I believe in the Islamic religion, is not a radical person. It's not hard to find people who would claim to be an Islamic follower who really thinks it's horrible some of the things that have happened under the leadership of Osama bin Laden and some of these other radicals that have resulted in bombings and killings of thousands of people. Because the truth of the matter is, much like Christianity, there are many Muslim people who are not really active and have really not read the books that Islamic faiths are based on. Like a lot of people in the Christian churches today who very seldom, if ever, pick up their Bible and read it, there are a lot of Muslims who are the same way. They've never read the Quran or any of the other holy books of Islamic religion. And yet, there is something that needs to be said. Every Muslim shares the philosophy of eventually taking control of the world. And if you be thinking about that a little bit, you really can't blame them for that. Because shouldn't Christians have that same attitude? Shouldn't we have the attitude of leading every person we can to faith in Jesus Christ? Isn't that supposed to be our great commission? Well, people who believe in the Islamic faith have the very same idea. Their idea is to eventually convert every person they come in contact with into the Islamic faith. And we seem to think that what we have seen here ever since the day those airplanes flew into the World Trade Center, and from that time forward, that the war against Islam began at that time and continues up to this very moment. But that's not true, because an examination of the facts and what has happened really goes to show us that the war against Islam, or I guess I should say the war with Islam and the rest of the world, has been going on for at least 1,000 years. Ever since the Muslims were kicked out of Jerusalem in those holy wars put on under the leadership of the Pope Urban II, well, they've been trying from that very moment to try to get control again. We're all aware of the recent acts of war by these Islamic terrorists. But the truth is, Islam has been at war with the Western world for a long, long time. Robert F. Kennedy, remember him? Robert F. Kennedy was a presidential candidate back in 1968. Robert Kennedy was quoted in the Boston Globe newspaper, and he said that he would support Israel with all of the might of the American military establishment if he were elected president. 3 days after that quote came out in the Boston Globe, Robert F. Kennedy was shot to death. You remember that? You remember who shot him? A man by the name of Sirhan Sirhan. You know what he was? He was a follower of the Islamic religion. In Sirhan's pocket, they found that article from the Boston Globe. And you know what he wrote beside that article that he was carrying in his pocket? Just three letters, D-I-E, die. In 1979, the U.S. Embassy in Tehran, In 1979, the U.S. Embassy in Tehran was seized after Jimmy Carter's betrayal of the Shah of Iran. When Jimmy Carter came out against the Shah of Iran, our embassy in Tehran was seized. That was back in 1979. And as a result, you folks remember this. I do. Surely you remember this. As a result of that embassy being seized, American citizens were held hostage for a total of 444 days, and not until President Reagan was sworn into office were they eventually released. That embassy was seized, friends, and all. You remember that don't you remember that story of all these citizens who were held hostage? We saw videos of them blindfolded and all that. Remember that? It happened, friends, because our president disgraced in the eyes of people who were Islamic followers their big leader. And as a result, they attacked our embassy and held those men hostage for over a year. In 1979, the U.S. Embassy in Islamabad, Pakistan, was burned with those hostages taken. In 1982, 37 Americans were taken hostage in Lebanon, and some of those people were held for 9 years. In 1983, a suicide bomber attacked a Marine barracks in Beirut. 350 people were killed, including 241 U.S. Marines, as a result of that attack. In 1985, the cruise ship Achille Laurel sailed out of Egypt with the Leon Klinghoffer family from the Midwest aboard. And terrorists took over the ship and pushed the man in a wheelchair overboard into the sea while his family watched him drown. Who did that? People, followers of Islam. In 1985, TWA Flight 847 was hijacked by Hezbollah and Islamic Jihad followers. A Navy SEAL was beaten, tortured, killed, and his body dumped. In 1988, a Pan Am jet was blown up over Lockerbie, Scotland. 259 passengers were killed. The sad part of that whole story was they caught the person responsible, and Great Britain, for some reason, let that guy who was responsible go, and he's still alive today in the Middle East. And of course we know, in 1993, the World Trade Center in New York was bombed. A bomb was set off, a car bomb, in the basement or in the parking garage of that Trade Center. That was just the first time the Trade Center was attacked by terrorists. Terrorists also had plans to bomb the subway, the United Nations building, the Lincoln and Holland tunnels in New York, and the Washington Bridge. So even though they succeeded in bombing the World Trade Center's garage, police found out later on that was only one of several plans that were in the works that day until they were stopped. Abel Rahman, who headed the New York Mosque where this attack was planned, was allowed to openly do what he was planning. He is the same man who ordered the assassination squad to kill Egyptian leader Anwar Sadat. The U.S. government gave him citizenship, knowing that. And of course we know, 2001, 9-1-1, as we call it today, the World Trade Center. Islamic terrorists flew two airplanes into the side of that massive twin tower, and over 3,000 American people were killed. Did you know this? More people were killed in that attack by those two Islamic terrorists at the World Trade Center. More people died as a result of that than the attack on Pearl Harbor by the Japanese. More people killed at the World Trade Center than at Pearl Harbor. What happened after Pearl Harbor was attacked by the Japanese? The United States declared war on Japan. Amen? But actually, it was the Japanese who started that war. Amen? And who started the war that we really now... Didn't President Bush at that time declare that we were at war with the Islamic State? Seems like I remember it that way. And we know this, nearly every week, planes land here in the United States bringing home U.S. soldiers in body bags. Soldiers killed over in Afghanistan, in other parts of the world, fighting against Islamic terrorists. And the question might be, where did all this begin? Where did all of this begin? And the answer, you might be surprised, is found back in the very first book of your Bible, the book of Genesis. Turn to with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, I'm going to start reading at verse 1. Again, from the New King James Translation. Genesis 4, 1 through 10. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now friends, as you look at this passage, at least it's pretty evident to me that this guy Cain had a spirit of war with his brother Abel. Abel believed that only the blood of a lamb could cleanse his sin and get him access to God. Cain, a farmer, thought his works could cleanse and get him access to God. Cain knew as well as Abel that blood was required, but he thought he'd do it his way. So Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and as the Bible says here, he killed him. Now, friends, we go further into Genesis, and we find two more brothers, and their names are Isaac and Ishmael. Now, Muslims believe Abraham offered Ishmael as a sacrifice in Mecca. And the descendants of Ishmael have followed the way of Cain, killing their own brothers in the Middle East. Did you know that? Did you know that? The people who are of the Islamic faith are considered descendants of Ishmael. And so the battle between Ishmael and Isaac continues to this very day. Islam, my friends, as we get into the days of tribulation, is a religion that is going to be controlled by the Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is a religion that denies that Jesus is God. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, says this: Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. In the religion of Islam, a man by the name of Isa, I-S-A, was considered to be their Messiah. He is also referred to as the Word of Allah. The prophet Isa will have an important role in the end times, establishing Islam and making war until he destroys all religions in the world except Islam. He will fight for the cause of Islam. Islam always opposes the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. And anyone claiming to be a Christian who is against Israel, my friends, is working against God's will. I don't know what your politics are, but I've got to say this very clearly. The man who is soon to leave office has been, by most, if not all, of the things he has done while he has been in office, has been against Christianity. Now, he would never admit to being an Islamic follower, but certainly his actions speak otherwise. Anyone of the present time, anyone of the future who comes out with words against Israel, my friends, is, I say to you, working against God's will, because God has always had a plan for the nation of Israel, and you're going to see that as we continue with our study of Revelation. In 2001, the 100 years of conquest had begun, and the people of Islam planned to conquer and control Europe by the year 2050, if the rapture hasn't happened before then. The people who are leaders of Islam say they are on track to control Europe no later than 2055. Well, friends, this is the sad thing. This is really the sad thing in my mind. If the United States would finally use its full military powers with all of the technology that we have, with all of the weapons that we have, if we would just use that, this war with Islam could be over in 3 days. I really believe that. I believe we have the technology and we have the power to stop it in 3 days. But that's not going to happen because, friends, we would be criticized by everybody else in the world for being so inhumane with all of the supposed innocent people who would be killed if we used that power. And certainly there would be a lot of people, innocent people, who would be killed. Much like the United States is still criticized today because we dropped those atomic bombs on Japan. While we are watching body bags of U.S. soldiers arrive daily, friends, we are really not doing all we can to win this war against Islam. Muslims believe that their Messiah is coming, just as we believe the times are right for the return of Jesus Christ. And I say to you again, my friends, the fastest growing movement, especially among African Americans, is not Christianity. It's Islam. The Holy Book of Islam says this, and I'm quoting from it, so listen very carefully to what it says. This is from the book that people who convert to Islam read, much like you have a Bible. Fight those who believe not in Allah, nor the last day, nor hold that forbidden which hath been forbidden by Allah and his apostle, nor acknowledge the religion of truth, even if they are, of the people of the book, until they pay the jihad with willing submission and feel themselves subdued. That's in the Quran. That's in their, what we would call, Bible. And friends, I just say this briefly in closing. I really don't believe that President Obama is an active Muslim. I could be wrong, but I don't believe he's an active Muslim. But I firmly believe he has spent so much time out of our country that he seems to favor Islam over Israel. Now, I'm talking about time spent before he ever took office. I don't think Obama thinks the way we think as Christians. And so, even though he's going to be leaving office, he will no longer be president of the United States, I firmly believe that Obama will still have some influence in our world today. And I close by saying this. I hope everyone will pray that eventually Barack Obama and anyone else who has fallen into this false religion of Islam, pray that their eyes will be opened and that they will come to the truth of Jesus Christ.